Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we declare that we will continue on in Jesus' name. Father, we will not be moved by the enemy in Jesus' name. Lord, the kingdom suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. Lord, we declare that we will take back everything that the enemy has stolen in Jesus' name. We will not go back. We will not be moved. We declare the season of Joshua and Caleb, and that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, that we will inherit the territory, that even giants bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we declare that the walls of Jericho will fall in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare the advancement of your kingdom in Jesus' name. Father, we will declare a release of supernatural provisions even now. Lord, we call forth every speckle of silver, every talent needed to rebuild the altar of the living God. Lord, we ask that you continue, Lord God, to store up the spoils that will be released when the dust is clear. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you once again for the opportunity and privilege to host this show. We pray, O God, that these lessons, O God, will be a blessing to those who have listened to them. We pray that this ministry will take the gospel throughout the world and to honor the Great Commission. We pray, O God, that no weapon formed against this ministry shall prosper as we submit to you, Lord. We ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in every decision that we are making. And we pray for provision for this ministry, that our word will go forth and not return void, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'll send laborers to us to assist us in our local community to dispense of your word. Lord, we thank you once again for the book of Romans and John. We thank you for those that provided for us. And we pray that you'll continue to provide the necessary finances to cover the cost of these materials. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you bless our community of Elmont, and that every Christian in that neighborhood will come forth to join in this revival. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we submit to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ Ministries presents proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Shadonnell Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our online bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc., at www.reverseofrevival.com. You can also visit us at foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. now supports Food for the Poor. We need your financial support to raise funds to assist their efforts. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. There are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you will find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501(c)(3). If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. Please write on the check's memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. God bless you, and I pray that you'll find it in your hearts to make a donation or some form of contribution to this worthy cause. Christ Ministries, Inc. is a member of the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc. We are an apostolic ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our radio broadcast every Sunday and Wednesdays, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, to our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed Word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to the world. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501c3. Dr. Oswald J. Smith once said, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has fortified its biblical right to exist." As we continue on this spiritual journey, I would like to share our statement of faith with you. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at His return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission, according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The one thing needful, Dr. Charles Stanley wrote, "You might be one of the thousands of men and women who are out of work right now, are making much less income than you once did. I understand that this time of waiting for relief, such trials can be long, lonely, and difficult, full of questioning about your purpose, your identity, and your value in life. But be encouraged. Even if you are about those things, let me assure you that your Heavenly Father isn't. He knows your every need, including the job you desire and the bills you have to pay. What matters most is not the state of your resume or bank account, but the condition of your heart towards God. Jobs will come and go, and so will money. But the word of the Lord and His love for you will never change. When the present life is over and we stand before God, we might be surprised to learn that some of the most successful people in His eyes never saw their names in a newspaper, watched televisions, or watched themselves on televisions, or heard their voices on the radio. We may be surprised to find out that they never had much money, a nice home, health insurance, or even a decent car. When all is said and done, the final measure of life on earth will be whether or not the Lord can look at you and say, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant.'" Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. "His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.'" Praise be to God.
Nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest.
House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is a member of the Tony Owens Ministries. Our sole purpose is to equip the members of the body of Jesus Christ with the necessary tools to effectively function in the call of God on their lives. As believers, we are commissioned by the Lord to take the knowledge of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I pray that these teachings will be a blessing to you and will help you fulfill the Great Commission. You have been called to be a steward, a servant of God. God has called you to be His ambassador to the world. He has given you the ministry of delivering the message of God to the whole world, the message of reconciliation. No greater call could ever be issued. No higher position could ever be held. Beloved, we must take these calls seriously. We will be held accountable if we fail to follow the directive given by Jesus Christ regarding the Great Commission. We must evangelize the world. We must go out and win souls for the kingdom. We must start in our Jerusalem. We must start to introduce Jesus Christ to our families and friends. The scripture tells us that we should go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is what we are required to do as Christians. Beloved, I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our teaching, What Christians Believe, Who is Jesus Christ, Proof of the Living God, Part 1, Our Father, Proof of the Living God, Part 2, The Holy Spirit, Proof of the Living God, Part 3, The Origin of Man, The Origins of God, and There Are Many Ways, or Only One Way to God. You will learn what it really means to be a Christian. What are your responsibilities? How you should go forth and evangelize the world? How you should honor the Great Commission? For more information and to receive copies of these teachings, which you can duplicate, just as the disciples did, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world and win souls for the kingdom, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. as we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. I encourage you once again to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our lesson for tonight is Proof of the Living God, Part 2. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The Lord is the sun and shield to me, and will give me grace and glory in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the opportunity once again to come into your presence and to submit to you and to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us through these lessons. And Father, we pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, that each and every one of us will take seriously the Great Commission and go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for that opportunity and this privilege to do that. Lord, I pray, O God, that this lesson will be a blessing to those who will listen tonight. Lord, I pray, O God, that they will find something from this lesson which can be of great importance and encouragement to them. In the name of Jesus, I submit to you as a vessel to be used as an instrument tonight to dispense your word. Father, I bless you tonight, and I pray, O God, that you will wash me and cover me with the blood of the Lamb. Have mercy upon me and forgive my transgressions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I thank you that even while I was yet a sinner, you came down and paid the price. The price that no one else could have paid as a ransom for my sins. Lord, I thank you today. I can't praise you enough, Lord, for dying for me. I was guilty with nothing to say. And they were coming to take me away. When a voice from heaven
For this series is rendered in the Amplified Version in part two of this lesson series. Every verse will be explained for greater clarity. As we continue on this spiritual journey and our lesson series, What Christians Believe, and tonight we will be teaching the Proofs of the Living God, part two. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the day of faith that arises to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. Once again, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. The gospel message is designed to produce a right standing with God that results from first believing in Jesus Christ. But faith must not stop there. The original saving faith is a spiritual seed. If developed, it has within it the ability to grow and produce greatest amounts of maturing faith throughout the life of the Christian. This growth is necessary because once we have been justified or made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, we must continue to live by faith to remain justified in Him. Living by faith pleases God, and the Christian must continue to grow in faith to win the victory over doubt and unbelief. For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. However, God warns us that we must remain in a faith-filled life to separate us from those who refuse to believe. His wrath is revealed from heaven upon those who continually sin and express unbelief because their wickedness hinders and represses the truth. Eventually, their unbelieving lives stop the truth from having an effect upon them. For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God Himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature and attributes, that is, His eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, His handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. Because when they knew and recognized Him as God, they did not honor and glorify Him as God or give Him thanks, but instead they became futile and godless in their thinking, with vain imaginings, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculation. And their senseless minds were darkened, Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 21 of the Amplified Bible. Almighty God is justifiably indignant. For ever since the creation of the world, he has revealed himself to mankind plainly and clearly through the visible world. So extensively has God done this that now man is without excuse, because when they knew it was God, when they recognized that yes, only God could have done such things, they did not give him the honor or the glory. They were unthankful to him and resisted the faith that tugged at their hearts. They allowed pride, skeptical thoughts, and human reasoning to rationalize away the truth, and their foolish minds became darkened to the truth. In this hour of man's history, the Christian must beware of human speculation, doubt, and opinions not founded in truth. These will surely steal their faith and remove you from a position of favor with God. Once a person comes to faith in him, it must grow and resist all temptation to go back into the darkness of doubt and fear. Instead, it must gain the intensity needed to forge ahead. But how does God judge those who never heard of him? This is a question many Christians have struggled with. But that struggle was unnecessary, for God tells us plenty in his word. Let us examine Romans chapter 2, verses 13 through 25, rendered in the New Living Translation. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either excuse them or tell them they are doing right. And this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. You who call yourselves Jews are relying on God's law, and you boast about your special relationship with him. You know what he wants. You know what is right because you have been taught his law. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for the people who are lost in darkness. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach the children the ways of God. For you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourselves? You tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it is wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from pagan temples? You are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scripture says, the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. The Jewish ceremony of circumcision has value only if you obey God's law. But if you don't obey God's law, you are no better off than an uncircumcised Gentile. Among Christians and rebellious unbelievers, there has been a question as to whether God can justifiably sentence people to hell who have never heard of him. They ask, How can God of love send someone to hell who has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, God is just and he is loving. Previously, we read that God has given the visible creation as proof of his existence to unbelievers. As if that isn't enough, he yet provides another way. When God created mankind, he placed within them the law of right and wrong. This law is written in the hearts of every human being before birth. It is regulated by the conscience. The conscience mediates the actions and motives of the individual to ensure they understand whether their actions are consequent or beneficial. Every person, whether saved or not, has this law written in their hearts. Those who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and live a life regulated by this inward truth will be counted as righteousness before God. However, those who have heard the gospel will be judged by their response to the greater truth. Every person will be judged according to the amount of truth they knew and lived. Those who are saved by the gospel message don't live by the conscience. We are to live by the obedience of the word of God and faith in it. Nevertheless, we are not to ignore the conscience. It should be renewed to agree with the word by convicting us of sin or convincing us of righteous actions and motives. The Christian who has the truth and does not live it gives the unbeliever the ammunition to ridicule the gospel and Christianity. In the end, that Christian will be judged along with the unbelievers. Yes, in the passage above, we see God's great justice and integrity. We don't have to question whether he loves men or gives chances to those who have not heard of him. Daily he reveals himself to the world and to the individual intending to stir belief and submission to truth revealed all around them. In countless ways, both obvious and subtle, God shouts and whispers his existence to a willful world, requiring them to come to him in faith. More of those ways are contained in this lesson. Hospital. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at peace, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou? Was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Surely, the mercy of God is seen when the Lord spares the life of the unbeliever and even his own children by human instruments called medical professionals. These professionals extend merciful hands in times of sickness, accident, and terminal illnesses. The wisdom of the human body and the skill to manipulate bone, muscles, tendons, skin, and nerves comes from God, the Creator who fashioned the body from the dust of the earth. As he did with Adam, the Lord sustains the breath he breathed into our nostrils by instilling knowledge of the body's function, limits and potential into the mind of physician and medical staff. This gives them the ability to maintain the human body so it can stay viable enough to contain our souls and spirit lest we fly away. Psalm 90, verse 10. This great mercy is offered especially to the unbeliever to extend their time here on earth, lest they enter a place of fiery judgment and the death they are not prepared for. From the paramedics who provide critical care until one gets to a hospital, to the in-house medical professions, it is the Lord at work, continuing life for both the sinner and the saint. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. John chapter 11, verse 21. Yes, it is Jesus Christ who is present in the time of need. Even though God has provided this way, it does not stop his supernatural power to heal those who believe for it. Remember, Luke was a physician, but he also ministered healing and deliverance as well. Hospital chaplaincy. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to the knowledge of repentance. Do you know that a chaplain is an instructor in righteousness to the prisoner, military man, school child, and infirmed? They are field ministry to those who are unable to assemble in a church or too young to understand with their spiritual knowledge. Chaplains are often people posted by the Lord in areas where life and death are face to face, and there is one caught in the middle. In the extremity of their circumstance, they need assistance getting their heart right with God. The hospital chaplain is a guide to the sick, infirmed, and terminally ill, to encourage their hearts in the Christian faith. Somehow, owing to the Christian neglect of this post of hospital visitation, etc., it has allowed the very devil to get his group of blind guides into these sensitive posts. These blind ecumenical ministers counsel and comfort the sinner straight into a godless eternity. The chaplaincy is a signpost. It says that God loved the sinner and will go to the very door of death to redirect a heart that has lived a lifetime in rebellion. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 48, verse 14, B clause. He controls the natural elements of the earth. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. Job chapter 26, verse 8. In just this year alone, the citizens of earth have witnessed earthquakes, climatic weather all over the world. We've seen floods, landscapes, volcanic eruption, with dust darkening the North Atlantic and Europe, destructive tornadoes, and more in diverse places all over the earth. With such erratic and dangerous weather, what is to prevent one great event from wiping out all life on earth? God's covenant with Noah. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a token of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my vow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." And God said unto Noah, "This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. God had to reassure Noah, animals and the earth, that whenever they saw a cloud in the sky, it did not mean destruction. Why? Because prior to the flood, the earth was watered by a mist that went up from the ground. If we take a look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, the old ecology of the earth changed after the flood. No longer would a mist water the earth, but rain would fall by a system of evaporation and cloud formation. Not being in such an environment before Noah, his family and the animals did not know if the next cloud would be a sign of impending judgment. God had to reassure them that they should repopulate the earth, knowing they had a future. No matter how wicked man becomes, God has set a limit upon himself. Even though his righteous indignation and judgment threatened to break out against mankind because of lawlessness, yet in his mercy, he has limited total worldwide destruction during this age of grace to areas all around the world and not the entire earth all at once. The rainbow would stand as God's promise of faithfulness to this covenant. We know that it is the gracious God alone who maintains the ecology of the earth by spiritual laws. He does this for the benefit of sinner and believer. It is not man, because he would only allow the sun to shine and the rain to fall in his family and in friends. And it can't be the business and corporate world. They would control the elements and market them as a utility to the public for a profit. Nor are the elements handled by politicians. They would only pass laws to allow them to function for their voting constituency. Lastly, it is not the justice system, because it would only allow the sun to rise and the rain to fall on the innocent. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain upon the just and on the unjust. Matthew chapter 5, verses 4-4 and 4-5. No, the ecology is neither regulated by science theory or the false pagan god, Mother Earth, Gaia. It can only be God, for only God would be that merciful. The need to worship. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. We know there is a God because man has an inner desire to worship something. In his rebellion against God, he created idols that he could worship, that are after his own likeness, design, concept, or definition. Some of these are business, pleasure, fame, and riches. Many people even say they are non-religious, but that simply is not true. Whatever a person desires, pursues, gives their strength to, and spend their time on, it is their God. And it is what they worship. Whatever or whoever occupies our thoughts and absorb your investment of time and money, they are it. It's what we worship. This is apart from the family time we spend nurturing, training, and bonding with children and spouses. We can tell what we worship by looking at our bank statements or checkbook, our monthly statements and our credit card, or any collected receipts. These things will tell us what we worship. Whatever we have spent the most money on, aside from utility bills, insurance, and reasonable expenses for groceries and repairs, will tell us what we gain fulfillment, pleasure, and value from. Human beings like to worship things that are sensory, that they can see, touch, smell, feel, hear, or conceptualize. But God, who is a spirit, cannot be conceived with the natural mind. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus Christ told the Samaritan woman at the well that he didn't understand what she worshipped. There was a long-standing dispute between the Samaritan and the Jews. Each believed they owned the location where the presence of the Lord dwelt. The Samaritans had confined the worship of God to a mountain in their area, and the Jews to Jerusalem, which was their area. But when she asked him where the correct place to worship was, Jesus told her, "Neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship God, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such a people to worship him." John chapter 4, verse 19 through 24. You cannot contain God in a vessel, a box, or location, or denomination. God helps the natural man to become conscious of the invisible God by giving him tangibles and express his mercy, forgiveness, purity, and majesty. Viewing vast snow capped mountains or fiery sunset, graduating from golden red into scarlet, purple, and finally into royal blue, instinctively brings words of admiration, awe, and inspiration to the lips of the beholder. In spite of themselves, words that only God deserves come to their lips. Wonderful, glorious, awesome, magnificent, marvelous. These are words that attribute glory to God, their Creator. The Lord provides shelter, clothing, and food for the unbeliever, and they are to see him by the goodness they are experiencing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. John chapter 5, verse 16. However, God's goodness is intended to bring them to repentance. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege and the opportunity to dispense your word. And as we continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight was Proof of the Living God, Part 2. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information in tonight's lesson, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. The word of God is mighty and powerful and is well able to profoundly influence your lives. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into an eternal, unbreakable covenant with God. At this time, all of his promises are available to you if you receive them by faith.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens.
Join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have previously accepted Him and turned away from Him, I encourage you to recommit your life to Jesus Christ tonight. And if you have not accepted Him, I pray that you will accept Him and turn away from the sins of this world. Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart. He's knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Once again, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we are all sinners, and we came short of the glory of God. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." For the wages of sin is death. Death. But the gift of God to us is an eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I encourage you to accept Jesus Christ because He's a gift from God to us. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I encourage you tonight to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." I encourage you tonight to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please join me in prayer. Forget about what you've done. Forget about the sins of your committed. Just submit yourself to the Lord and you'll be washed of those sins if you accept Him. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner. Right now, Lord, I choose to turn away from sin. And I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that your Son Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away my sins. I also believe that he rose again from the dead so that I might be forgiven of my sins and made righteous through faith in him. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you and ask that you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that right now I am a child of God. I am free from sin and full of the righteousness of God. I am saved. Father, we thank you and we bless you tonight for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, if you have prayed this prayer and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Lamb of God. And as we come to you tonight in repentance, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. We pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, that you'll renew in us a new spirit and a new heart, and that your words will be embedded in our hearts, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we thank you. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Beloved, we thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ, and through the remission of sin, we are saved by grace, and not of ourselves. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. Amen. Lamb of God, I come, I come. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, thanking you for tuning in tonight. I pray that this was a blessing to you, and I pray that you will tune in once again every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you, and have a good night, and I encourage you to evangelize the entire weekend of the memorial celebration. God bless you once again, and good night.